Ready, bro?
Yeah, bro. All
right. Let's kick it.
Hey, we're just two bros hanging out here. Broing out.
That's right. This show is called Hey, Bro.
Yeah. Hey, bro.
Let's kick it.
Let's kick it. What does it mean when you kick it when you're a bro? You're not actually kicking anything.
No, it's like you're chilling.
But then that's the complete opposite.
Hey, kick
kicking
it.
Is the opposite of chilling.
What? No, kicking and chilling are synonymous.
Yeah, except the action of kicking and the action of chilling are two completely separate actions.
Okay, but what if you're kicking it because you're like leaning back in a chair and your feet are free so you can kick them around in the air?
Ooh.
Kick it.
Is that the origin?
I believe so. I am here discussing today the etymology of different bro terms. The first one being kick it. This is what we talk about on Hey Bro.
Hey Bro. Well, on this episode of Hey Bro, we're also going to talk about magic.
That's right. In addition to being hosts of the show Hey Bro, Let's Kick It.
Yeah.
We are filling in for the hosts of Magic the Amateuring this week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we will also be bringing you Magic the Amateuring content about Magic the Gathering.
Yes.
I am Steve.
Oh my God. I was just going to say my name was Steve. I am not kidding.
Your name
kidding.
Is also Steve. Your
that
name
was
is
so
Steve.
Weird.
I will also be playing the role of Megan.
And
today.
I'm Steve, and I'll be playing the role of Maria, one of your hosts of Magic the Amateuring.
That's right. You can't see it, but we're both doing air quotes every time we say our own names and the name of the show, Magic the Amateuring.
Because it's not really our names
no.
or our show.
We are Steve and Steve.
Steve and Steve.
Bringing you, Hey Bro, Let's Kick It. Interspliced with Magic the Amateur.
Right, Magic the Gathering content.
For players new to the game, mm-hmm. returning to the game, mm-hmm. and anyone who likes to lay back and listen to some sweet magic laugh times.
Do you think there's going to be a card called Kick It ever printed?
What?
Yeah.
That'd be really weird.
There was a mechanic called Kicker.
That's right. I think it would maybe create confusion because of that, because people would be like, I kicked it, and they'd be like, did you cast the card, or does this card have kicker?
No, I'm casting kick it with kicker.
Perfect.
My goal in Magic R&D is to completely ruin everything. Oh, boy.
If you ever get a chance to interview for a position with R&D, will that be your number one
point?
That
will be... Well, no. My number one point is that I'm going to make a Huey Lewis in the News theme set.
Steve, what do you most hope to accomplish as a member of R&D?
I want to make a themed 80s hair band set focused on Huey Lewis in the News, but other hair bands can be included, like Kiss.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
You know. Yeah. Late Queen.
Twisted Sister
for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe some like Heart, like the girl group.
Yeah. Oh, you don't have to tell me. I may be a bro, but I love me some Heart.
Speaking of Heart.
Yeah.
You know what has a lot of Heart?
What, Steve?
The Pro Tour.
Holy cow. Yes, it does. Talk about a bunch of players. Almost 400 of them playing their hearts out.
That's right. All of them with hearts beating in their bodies, supposedly. I don't know. Some of them might be robots.
We're not entirely
not sure
about that. But this past weekend was Pro Tour Battle for Zendikar.
Yes.
Again, almost 400 players met in beautiful Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
It's not exotic to us because we live 5 hours away.
Yeah. Six rounds of draft.
Yeah.
A lot of rounds. I lost... 10 rounds of standard.
Yeah, lots of magic.
Assuming that they played both days. Again, you had to have a 4-4 or better record, mm-hmm. to advance to day two. So out of 8 rounds, you had to go at least 4-4. So maybe you only played 5 rounds of standard and 3 rounds of draft. Maybe you played 6 and 10.
Yeah.
And maybe if you made the top 8, you played more rounds of standard.
Yeah, just more.
Just more. Physically more.
You guys, we're going to talk a lot about the Pro Tour on this episode of Magic the Amateuring slash, what's our show called? Hey Bro?
Mm-hmm.
Slash Hey Bro. And it's going to be great because the Pro Tour is like Magic Christmas and it happens 4 times a year and Christmas only happens once a year. So, i.e., it is better.
I.e., Magic the Gathering Santa Claus is a lot more busy than regular Santa.
Yeah, and Magic the Gathering Santa Claus comes in the form of Rich Hagen. Who bestows on us gifts of great glory, including marvelous puns and coverage.
And amazing British accents.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Agreed.
He would be Magic Santa.
Wouldn't he just? Yeah, I was thinking, would. I was like, who would be Magic Santa? Definitely It'd Rich
be
Hagen.
Definitely be Rich. Well, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Let's keep talking about this pro tour. Because, yes. Hey, bro.
Hey, bro.
You were there.
I was there. You guys, we talked about it on the last episode, and it remained true that I went to Milwaukee.
It didn't later on become a lie.
Yeah. I went to Milwaukee for the pro tour. It was so awesome.
What were you doing there? Tell us about what you were doing, Steve.
All right. Well, you know, you can just actually, little known fact, maybe it's well known, you can actually just go to the pro tour and hang out, BTW.
What?
If you want.
Well, now you guys all know.
Now you guys know you can go there if it happens to be in a city near you. You can go there and watch. They've got TV set up so you can watch the action. You can go up and actually look in on the feature matches or whatever. Just walk around and see the players play. Sometimes they run drafts and there's swag to buy as well. So yeah, that's just a quick little side note. But I was not there just watching. I was actually for the first time a member of the coverage team, in that I was doing spotting during the pro tour as well as graphics work on the card viewer behind the scenes. So what does that mean? That means I stood there with an iPad and tracked players' hand sizes, not sizes. That was I'm inputting it. Large hand. Inputted their cards in hand, as well as was back behind the scenes on a computer, putting up when you saw a player's hands versus when you saw card images versus when you saw the other player's hand. So that was a lot of fun and actually quite challenging.
What was challenging about it, Steve?
Well, you got to do a lot of standing, you know?
Yeah.
When I got there, the guys who are kind of always on coverage were like, hey, man, you need to sit whenever you get the opportunity or you're going to die. And that was true because you got to stand. You got to stand a lot to look at those hands. But it was challenging also in that, like, keeping track of players' hands during the game is kind of difficult sometimes because you want to watch the game, right? You're a Magic player.
Yeah.
You want to see how they're playing it, but you really need to be focused on what they're drawing, what they've already played. And sometimes when there is a lot of similar lands, like in draft or whatever, you've got to be really careful that they haven't already played that mountain there, or they're still holding that mountain, or et cetera, et cetera. There's also Japanese cards in other languages. There is a French Warden of the First Tree, which was Garde du Premier Arbre, I believe.
Wow.
Which was fabulous.
Fancy.
There's the timer. The pizza rolls are done.
Hey, bro. Let's have a bro snack.
Bro snack. There's no snack broier than pizza rolls, by the way.
There really isn't.
Also, there were cards with unfamiliar art to me because they were using lands from older sets. So that all factors into being difficult. And when players start a game, they usually play very quickly. So keeping up with that was
a challenge. We all know the habit that players have of flicking cards around in their hands.
Oh, my goodness.
Which I can only imagine makes that job just more difficult.
There was one game. I can't remember who it was. I believe it was Martin Yuza.
I actually know that it was because you texted me afterwards.
Oh, yeah, I did. That was very stressful for little Maria because Yuza really flicks those cards. And I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. What are those two? It was two cards because we had come into the game from doing life totals on another game. So you move around a lot in the future match area. And we went into Yuza and he's just... And I was like, what are those two cards? And like, we're not completely disallowed from like tapping them on the back and saying, I need to see that, or picking up a morph to see what it is. But I wanted to practice good etiquette and not really bother the players because this is the pro tour. I eventually had to call Marshall over and be like, Marshall, you need to help me. I cannot tell what he is flicking. It is going the speed of light.
Of a light over there.
It was a Silumgar Scorn is what it was.
Oh, very nice.
So
solid card.
That's what happened there. But it was a ton of fun to be able to do that and be around on the greatest stage in Magic history as the best players are playing and kind of see how it worked behind the scenes. For anybody looking for some hot gossip, let me give it to you from behind the scenes in Wizards event coverage.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's super great.
What? Shut up. Nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah, sorry. It's the truth. What can I do?
Oh, tisk tisk.
One thing that was really exciting, besides working the pro tour, was playing coverage draft, which was also very fun. But third was talking to the players.
Oh, snap, Steve. You got to talk to players?
I sure did, Steve.
Nice.
So the day before the actual event started, mm-hmm. so this would be Thursday, I walked around the event space and interviewed a bunch of players about their thoughts of draft going in. We didn't really talk about Constructed because players normally try and keep that stuff secret before they start
Very
playing.
Very secret tech.
Yeah, it's top secret tech.
And everyone knows that you can't trust a couple of bros named Steve.
I mean, yeah, I would have leaked that everywhere. No, but I wanted to respect that, so I just talked to them about draft, which they were willing to talk about. For the most part, and other various silly things as you hear. So I interviewed about, I can't remember, like, I don't know, you'll hear 15 of Magic's sweetest players. And this is not by any means an exhaustive list. There's other super sweet players out there, obviously.
Yeah, man.
But there's going to be some cool big names hitting your earballs coming up in about a minute or so. And I want to give a special thanks to Tim Willoughby for helping me secure all these interviews. He was kind of my Obi-Wan and showed me around the event space and introduced me to all of these players. And it was very, very nice of him. And he's a great friend. So I want to thank him for helping me get these interviews.
Oh, that's real nice.
Yeah. So sit back, take a listen. This is Players... thoughts before the Pro Tour happened. So we're going back in time and we're gonna hear their innermost dreams and wishes about the PT. All right, we're backstage before the Pro Tour even gets started here on, what day is this, Thursday?
This is Thursday.
I'm sitting here with Marshall. How are you feeling before the Pro Tour?
Busy. I've already had like a full day and we're still going strong. We did sound checks earlier, which is easy. We just talk into microphones and tell them when it doesn't sound right. But now I'm doing interviews with players here on Thursday that we're going to run this Pro Tour and also at the World Magic Cup in November or December. So we're kind of getting these done. And then on top of it, we go mingle with the players. And, you know, we're basically like little spies. We're trying to get information about what decks are playing and who's happy and who's sad. And so we have stuff to talk about in the booth and at the desk throughout the course of the weekend.
So we had a meeting earlier this morning where you had your initial thoughts on the limited format that you provided to the group. Mm-hmm. How much preparation do you do so that you feel okay when you're talking about this stuff?
I do quite a bit. I go to a pre-release, at least one, usually two. And then I try to win enough packs so that me and my friends can do a draft, you know, if we combine all of our packs, a draft or two. Once it comes out on Magic Online, I'm full on. You know, I've probably done 6 or 7 Magic Online drafts, which is like probably the lowest number that I've done in a while. I was busy at the GP, which also, you know, was the weekend prior, and it was limited. So I really kind of got thrown into the deep end of the pool there because one week just isn't enough to really know the format. And so even the cards, it's hard to remember the names of the cards in that time frame. But after going through that for the weekend, it really kind of gets you up to speed. You get to talk to a lot of pros, you get to form your own opinions, you get to do drafts with the coverage people, and so now I feel pretty good. Like, I feel like I have a basic grasp on the format. I don't know it fully, but like I know enough to talk about it in like a reasonable way.
So what's the deck you're most excited about that you hope somebody drafts?
Well, I think the best deck is Blue-White Flyers. I said that in our meeting too. It's not a very exciting deck, to be honest. It's a little bit boring. The deck that I want to see people draft is a ramp deck. I just want to see people play huge Eldrazi. Like, somebody opens up an Ulamog and is like, screw it, we're doing it. Right? That's what I want to see. I've tried it myself with mixed results. I don't think it's terrible. I don't think it's great. But it is viable, I think. And that's, I mean, obviously I'm hoping to see, like, you know, Big Daddy Ulamog on camera.
What do you need in the Blue-White Flyers deck?
Blue-White Flyers comes together pretty easily because you get a lot of the pieces that nobody else wants. You want cheap defensive creatures like Fortified Rampart and Corehaven Medic to lock down, you know, early assaults. And you want all of the flyers, basically, that are in the set to apply pressure. And then on top of that, you get really good blue and often white tempo or removal spells like Clutch of Current, Sheer Drop. These are the type of cards that really work well in this deck because they're trying to attack you down on the ground. And so then you often will block something and you get to Sheer Drop it. You can use Tightening Coils beautifully in this deck. It is effectively a pure removal spell. It gets a flyer out of the way if it were a flyer in the first place. And even if it was a 6-6 or something, it doesn't attack you for anything anymore. And meanwhile, you're beating down in the air. So it really has no drawback.
I can agree with you because I drafted this last night.
Oh, so you know.
Yes. Without knowing it, it just kind of happened. Uh-huh. And it was fantastic.
Was it good?
Yes, it was very good.
Glad to hear that.
My only loss was my own stupidity. So,
yes, I have a lot of losses.
I don't blame my deck.
To that myself.
Hello.
Hi, that was Yol. Hey, Yol, what's up?
I'm good. Just had an interview with lovely BDM, so I'm good.
Everyone's just hanging out back here. Okay,
you're
well.
In the green room, you know.
This is the green room?
Yeah.
This is the green room.
Did you know?
Well, I don't know. It's black curtains.
Yeah.
It's not actually very green.
Not actually green. Yeah.
Okay, last question. What are you most excited for when you do coverage for events like this?
Usually, the thing I like the most is I get to work with people that I don't normally. I have like a stable of people that I work with at the GPs, but like you and, you know, a whole bunch of the guys that come in from out of town, like from other countries and stuff. I get to talk to them on Twitter or online occasionally, but I don't get to actually be around them and enjoy their company. And that's what I look forward to the most at the PT.
Awesome. Thanks, Marshall.
Yep. Yeah.
So, y'all. Community Cup bro, high five me. All right. So Pro Tour time.
Yes.
You won one of these.
Yeah, that's right.
So are you going to take this one down?
Oh, I'll try my best. Back to back. Can't be that hard, right?
So how are you feeling? Are you confident with this format?
I think I am. We had some very good limited testing, and now I think our deck is pretty good too, so it's going to be great. Yeah.
Are you more excited to play limited or standard?
Always limited. That's my thing.
A man after my own heart.
Yeah. Something like that.
What's your favorite deck? Like, if you were sitting down at the table to draft, what would you hope to get?
Black, white, drain your life, allies, never attack.
Just grind it out?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it goes pretty fast when the deck is good, so.
How do you deal with the pressure of playing at an event like this?
I don't know. I don't have any magic formula, I guess. I've done so many of them now. So it's, I don't know, sometimes there's pressure, sometimes there's not, but it's less and less, I guess.
Yeah, it's just becoming sort of more, this is just what I do, and
pretty
I go
much.
Here and try and do my best.
Yeah, since, like, this is my line of work now, so that's, you gotta deal with it, right?
You say that you're a professional tourist. Do you feel like that sometimes?
Yeah, I would say so. It's pretty close, right? Travel around the world and see different places and play some games. Yeah.
All right. What's your number one tip for people who are not a pro like you but are just at home being casual drafting BFC?
I think in a normal draft format, you often take removals and high impactful cards straight off. But in this format, I think there's more about reading the signals from which archetype is open. And especially the archetype powerful cards.
Okay, thanks. Good luck, yo. High five. Thank you so much for talking to me. Would you introduce yourself to all of our listeners?
I'm Raphael Levy from France, Pro Tour Hall of Famer.
So you won a GP last weekend.
I did.
How does it feel?
Always feel good. Yeah. It's not the first one, but it doesn't matter. It's always the same joy.
So what was your deck that got you there?
Well, we had a first day of sealed deck. I had a great red-blue Devoid deck. Then three drafts. Two drafts on day two. First one was a blue-black Devoid. Second one was a green-black, lots of black, with a lot of tokens. And the finals, I had a green-white splash red with a converge cards.
Wow, so if you had your way, what deck would you prefer to play limited-wise here at the Pro Tour?
I could play about anything. Like, I like the green white converge is like a little bit in my heart, but I would be fine with blue black or blue red. I'll bet anything.
That's a good answer because it could be anything.
Well, we'll see tomorrow. Like about around 10, we'll know.
So, what's your favorite thing about the Pro Tour?
My favorite thing. Everything's so cool here. We just get here, see like all the people you haven't seen in like the last 3 months because they're not living with you. They're all over the place. And then they all gather at the same place, and it's pretty cool.
Is it a bit of a party or is it a lot of study time? Very serious.
The party comes after.
Okay, thank you. Good luck, man.
Thank you.
So Owen, welcome to this spot where I'm interviewing you.
Hello.
So, the Pro Tour, what's your favorite thing about coming to the Pro Tour?
Winning. And my least favorite thing is losing.
So, what are your thoughts of this draft format so far?
I think it is a very good draft format, and it rewards preparation.
So, have you been preparing?
As best as I can. I'm trying really hard. We'll see if it works out for me, but...
How many drafts do you think you've gotten in?
I've probably done about 10 to 15 drafts, which is probably not as many as I usually do, but still all right.
Sure. So what are you hoping, if you had your way, what deck would you want to draft the first day?
I'm looking around so nobody hears me.
Sure. No, this doesn't come out till after.
Yeah. I think the best decks are blue, red, and black, white, and I will under no circumstances touch a green card.
Really?
Yes. I would sooner just not play the draft than draft a green card.
That's pretty harsh.
It's not going to happen. I'm not taking a green card. You can't make me no mythic rare of any kind of... There's no way.
So in a previous set, there is also an aversion to green. Is this as strong as that?
No, it has never been this pronounced, how bad it is and how unlikely you are to win if you draft it. Usually people say, I don't like this color, I do like this color. And almost always the colors will be roughly equal and maybe they won't match up as well. But I think in this format, green is just poison. You just lose if you draft it. It's so bad.
Is that because of the lack of removal? Why do you think it is?
Well, my personal opinion is that in the other, Rise of Eldrazi, the other draft format that's similar to this one, green was the best color by so much that they knew going in that green ramp and the kind of cards that are good in green in draft are going to work well already with the Eldrazi type cards, and they overcompensated, they overcorrected too far, and it's just too bad.
Do you think the landfall deck with using green is something, or are you just away from it?
You can draft it, but I will not.
All right, I'm holding you to that.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to say before you go in to the big day tomorrow?
Wish me luck.
All right, good luck, high five.
Thank you.
All right, I'm here with Matt Tabak.
Hi.
I have to put my microphone up over my head because he's a giant.
Hello down there.
So tell me, what's the best part about you coming to a Pro Tour from R&D?
Well, tiny human, Pro Tours are awesome. We get out to, R&D sends a couple people out to each of these. It's a great opportunity to talk to the players, talk to the judges, see what's going on at the pro level, watch some incredibly high-level magic, get lots of feedback on sets and events and how things are going and how we can make things better. And it's just, it's like a four-day party. And we're here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, so.
I mean, Party Town USA, am I right?
City of my birth, I will add.
Really?
So, indeed.
So, do cheese curds run in your blood?
What blood? What is that? I don't understand. Is that... In my
Never
cheese
mind.
Stream, is that what
Yeah, your cheese goes? Stream.
So, yeah, Pro Tours are awesome. We're here checking things out, talking to a bunch of pros, and having a good time.
So what have you heard? Have you heard anything so far on how people are liking Battle for Zendikar?
Response overall seems very positive. People are loving the different draft strategies. There's a bunch of constructed impact. Zendikar Expeditions, of course, is very popular. I couldn't get a lot of strategy tips out of the pros, as is the custom on Thursday. So what are you playing? And just nothing. Overall response has been great. Players really seem like having a good time. So we love that.
I can concur with that. This is one of my favorite draft formats I've drafted
Sweet.
Yet. So thank you.
Awesome.
We're good
glad.
Job.
That's on behalf of everyone I work with. We're glad you're loving it.
So secret inside R&D tips for listeners.
Oh, sure.
All right. What's the real thing that you should be doing in draft?
Okay, so I'm assuming you've stopped recording at this point. So
I'm not recording anymore.
Because I could get in real trouble if you were still recording.
So yeah, don't worry. This is off.
I'm glad. The red light on your phone tells me that you are no longer recording.
Yep.
So I'm going to tell you. Inside strategy, I really like, I'm a huge black-red fan in this set. Devoid colorless synergies, nettle drones, things like that. Pour on the damage early and fast. Don't get swayed by those Eldrazi and their super high mana costs. Keep it lean. End the game by turn 5 or 6. Get in, do some damage, get out. That's what I'm talking about.
I love being Rakdos. That's my true nature.
Absolutely.
So thank you for supporting that.
Yes, I do support the Rakdos to show. I mean, I don't know what Rakdos is. That's I've heard that before. I don't know what that is. Is that a Zendikar thing? I'm not sure.
No, no,
I'm,
no.
I'm going to steal your phone, though. So that's
Rakdosian.
Okay, bye.
Bye. I'm here with Willie Adel. Congratulations on your Hall of Fame entry.
Thank you very much. It was very cool and very touchy party yesterday. I enjoy a lot.
So how does it feel to be a member of the Magic Hall of Fame?
It feels amazing. Like, it wasn't anything that I expected forever. And when it happened, it took me a couple months to understand. I got it. And I I think I only realized it yesterday when I got the ring and the whole ceremony thing. It was pretty cool.
That ring, you can really take somebody out with a punch with that ring.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Like, it puts like these Super Bowl rings to shame. It's super beautiful.
It is really pretty. Do you feel now that by entering the Hall of Fame that something is sort of intrinsically different about your magic life?
I don't think it's any difference like right now. I just keep playing magic. I think the only difference is like if I eventually have to quit for some reason, I can always come back. But other than that, it shouldn't change anything in anyone's life. Like, so I just... It's still the same player as I was 2 months ago, so nothing changing right now, at least.
What's your favorite part about the Pro Tour?
I think it's the challenge, like playing the best players in the world. I don't think there are any like sports or esports in this case that like anyone can just face like the best players in a competition, like. And I'm motivated by the challenge, like how hard the opponents are. And I think it's pretty cool. Like, competition is amazing here.
How hard have you prepared for this Pro Tour? Has it been grueling or fun?
No, it was both. Like, it's more fun than grueling. I have, like, a house, like, close to Madison, when you stay, like, for 10 days with 20 people. And it was pretty fun. Like, we made barbecue several times. Eventually, we drafted a little bit. Like, but I think we did what you could do. Like, I think the preparation was pretty solid. And I hope we do, like... We have like a good finish here. Like either me or any of my teammates, I'll be pretty happy.
Well, good luck to you this weekend.
Thank you, Maria. See you around.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Kenji Tsumura, Hall of Famer of 2012.
Oh, so you're the real deal.
Maybe.
How do you feel going into this Pro Tour?
This Pro Tour is very hard because this is a new standard and a new draft. And we can do a lot of things in the format. So I think this is the hardest Pro Tour in recent 2 years.
You showed me your draft record.
Yeah. My record is so bad. 1-2-1-2-1-2, 0-3-0-3-0-3. Yeah.
So you're not feeling particularly confident?
Yes, I am so bad. But I think blue is very good in this format. So I want to draft blue as Devoid.
Devoid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or blue-black Devoid.
Yeah, that's a good deck. I've played it before. So you've been practicing with your team. What team is this?
I practiced with Japanese All-Stars, and they are so good, so I couldn't win.
Do you feel good about Standard?
No.
So all around you're just...
But I usually don't have confidence before the tournaments. So...
Oh, really? Why?
Why? Because I'm not good.
You're obviously good. You're in the Hall of Fame. Come on, I think you need to think better about yourself.
Thank you.
This has been Maria's intervention moment. Well, good luck to you, even though you're not confident.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So I'm standing here with somebody whose name I want to pronounce now for the first time. Matej Zatljakaj. How do you actually say it?
Matej Zatljakaj, but Matej Zatljakaj is fine. I know you can do it. Don't worry.
Matej Zatljakaj.
Very good.
Okay. All right. So we're here at the Pro Tour. Why do you love coming to these things?
Well, all the awesome people are here. It's not just the players, but the judges, the staff, and the people around it. Friends, you know, who just want to hang around. People like you.
Oh, thank you.
You were waiting for that, weren't you?
I was expecting it.
Okay. Fair enough.
How do you feel about Standard?
All right, I would have been happy if we had chosen one deck for the whole team, but we have two decks that I would be very happy to play each, so I'm happy.
So how did that happen? Where half of the people just said we believe this is stronger or we play this kind of deck better?
It was a long process. We tried a lot of decks. We came up with 3 we liked. Then we played a little more, and basically the whole team decided that like one of them is the best one. But then someone had an idea to make one of the 3 a little better. So we tried it. It was really good. And then we just focused on the 2 decks liked, and everyone said which one they prefer, basically. One of them is much harder to play. So a lot of people are like, I don't have enough time to learn it, so I'm going to play the one that's easy to play.
So is it tough to kind of parse what you think the metagame is going to be when you come into events like this? You have to just kind of take a guess at what most people will be playing and try and get an edge by coming in under that radar?
Yeah, metagame is really hard for this one, especially because it's the first one after like the big rotation. So, and the whole fetch land and the battle lands, like it gets so weird that you can build all these various kinds of decks, and it's really hard to predict now. And that's one of the things we focus on. We try to identify the best cards in the format, and both our decks run three cards that we think are the best cards in the format. I don't want to spoil.
Okay, I won't ask you, but okay. I'll just wait in anticipation of what those may be.
Yeah, one of them might be surprising.
Oh, excellent. So what's your personal goal for this weekend? Besides winning.
Of course. No, that's the classic American answer, right? I mean, winning, of course. Why would I else would I be here? No, I was sick the whole week, so I didn't get to practice as much as I hoped to, so I just want to play well. That's always my scenario. If I play well, then the results will come. If it's a topper or if it's just the minimum cash, both are fine.
Do you quantify playing well as even if you lost a match, if you think I played this as best I could, do you still feel okay?
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to make sure I don't make any mistakes, and like especially in this draft format, even standard, it's very easy to make small play mistakes that you can later identify and try to improve. So.
Oh, awesome. Well, good luck to you.
Yeah,
wait,
you.
I got to tell you, good luck, high five.
Oh.
That's the motto of this show.
Sweet.
Gregory Orange, you're wearing an orange shirt. Good job.
Yeah, I usually do.
So tell me, how confident are you feeling going into this Pro Tour?
Probably going to win the whole thing.
That's a great answer, and I hope I'm going to hold you to it, because you've done pretty well at some Pro Tours.
I suppose.
I suppose. You're like the most humble man in the world. So tell me, what are you hoping to, if you could open up anything in draft and build any deck tomorrow, what would you want to play?
I don't know, some sweet rare. What's the sweetest one? I don't know, maybe like Quarantine Field? I don't know. I haven't didn't put too much thought into it.
What about like a deck archetype? Any kind of archetypes that you're drawn to?
I drafted like a sweet deck with like four, like the like Awaken draw two card. I remember with the Mole Drifter or whatever.
Oh yeah, Coastal Discovery.
Oh yeah, that one. It was a sweet deck.
How are you feeling about Standard? Am I going to see anything that's surprising, or is it going to be same old, same old?
Oh, same old for me, I suppose.
Okay, what's your favorite thing about coming to a Pro Tour? From Minneapolis, MN, my hometown, as well as yours.
I mean, the drive wasn't that bad.
You didn't even fly?
No, I drove here.
Why? Don't they pay for you to fly?
Yeah, I could have, I suppose, but I don't know, it wasn't that far.
So. Road trip.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good luck out there. I hope to see you in the top eight, okay?
All right, I'll do my best.
I'm here with Ifro. How are you feeling going into this Pro Tour? You just got engaged. You just got inducted into the Hall of Fame. Is this like Cloud 9 or Cloud 10? What's going on?
Yes, it is.
Okay, perfect, perfect. How are you feeling? Do you feel confident going into this that you're just going to crush it?
No, I don't. I mean, we've had a hectic week. There's been a lot of celebrating and not as much sleep, but it's a Magic tournament. I've done pretty good at those things. I would like to leave this thing ranked number one, and that's going to mean a good finish. So we'll see. We'll see.
Do you have any, you know, if you were to go out there and draft, like, the deck that you most want to draft in this format in Battle for Zendikar, what would that be?
There's a bunch of decks that I really like a lot. I mean, there's different ally strategies I think are a lot of fun, and all the Devoid decks I think are pretty cool. You know, blue-black, black-red, and blue-red, I enjoy playing all of them. So a lot of good synergies there. This set is a lot more like Modern Masters than Origins. Get rewarded for synergy, and so I'm looking for a deck that has a lot of them.
Am I going to see anything spicy from you in Standard, or am I just going to be bored?
You are going to be bored.
Okay.
To be fair, Megan has played our decks in basically every format after. So, oh my God, I love Jessica Sensei. Oh my God, I love Thopter. So, yeah, you just got to buckle up and wait. Like, maybe this tournament's not the best tournament, but sometime this year we're going to have some big splashes. I'll have some good results. And Magic has a lot of variants, but at the end of the day, it's still a skill game. And so, at the end of the year, I'd like to see myself near the top. But each weekend, you don't know. You give it your best shot, and whatever happens, happens. At the end of the game, at the end of the day, it's still just a game, and it's just something for fun. I get to hang out with all my friends and see the world, so it's, either way.
That's what everybody's been telling me their favorite part of coming to this is just seeing all of their friends and hanging out with people they like.
Right. I mean, my dream was to come to Wisconsin, and now I've lived that dream, and so I'm here, I've done it, crossed that one off the bucket list, Wisconsin, I'm in you, game.
Have you had the cheese curds?
Multiple times. They're so good.
Okay.
Well, why do they even have mozzarella sticks when you can have cheese curds?
I don't know. Look, I don't know. I'm from Minnesota, so I appreciate this.
Don't you know?
Good luck. High five to you this weekend.
All right. Thanks.
All right. I'm standing here with Craig Wesco. Craig, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm talking to Maria.
Oh, thank you. I see. Is this your orange juice and Wheat Thins on the floor?
It is not. Looks like that's Jacob Van Loonen's.
Oh, it just seemed like something you would eat, but maybe not.
No, that is my Craig Wesco Pro Player card in your hand, though.
Oh, yes, it is. Oh, I thank you. It's signed as well.
It did.
I'm treasuring this. I'm going to frame this.
Really?
Yes.
I believe that.
What's the deal? What's the deal this weekend? Are you going to take this thing down or what?
I'm going to try. It's not every day that green-white aggro is the best deck in the format, so.
All right. So you're feeling okay about that?
Yeah, I could have chosen between a number of decks for this tournament, and I think I'm going to go with the deck that's in my wheelhouse.
You always go with the deck that's in your wheelhouse, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. How are you feeling about draft?
I feel good. We actually had a 3-hour meeting earlier today where me and Team Ultra Pro, we went over all the pick orders, all the archetypes and everything. So I don't know what I'm doing, but they seem to know what they're doing, so now I feel good.
Why do you like coming to the Pro Tour?
I would look at the ballot. I mean, it's fun. It's where high-level Magic's played, you know? You get to walk around with all these planeswalkers all over the room and get sit in these fancy tables, have enough space where you're not, like, locking elbows with other people, you know? Get interviewed by Maria.
If you were a planeswalker, who would you be and why?
I would be a Johnny.
That's not surprising. Do you have a cat?
My roommate has a cat, and therefore the cat thinks that it has a human, and I'm the human that the cat has.
Okay. Well, if I made a Magic card, it would be Craig Wesco, Planeswalker, and it would be white, of course, mm-hmm. And its ultimate would be your opponent becomes a vegetarian.
Vegetarian?
I mean a vegan.
A vegan, that's better. Okay. Yeah, I like that better.
Well, good luck to you this weekend. High five. All right, I'm standing here with Rich Hagen. How are you feeling going into this weekend?
It's going to be great. You know, every Pro Tour is exciting. First one of a new season, Battle for Zendikar. Limited and a power limited. Like, we saw a little bit of it in draft at Madison on Sunday. But before that, you know, sealed deck, it's very fractured. You don't see all the allies. You don't see proper ingest processor decks. You don't see the Eldrazi necessarily coming together. And I can't wait for the limited rounds here particularly to see that happen, and you actually get to see all these archetypes really, you know, at the biggest stage properly in their full-on power mode, so that'll be fun.
I agree. I really like this draft format. It's one of my favorites that I've drafted recently. When you draft it personally, what's your favorite archetypes?
Well, I love getting to Eldrazi. I'm not normally a green player at all, but there's something really smooth about the Scions that you kind of... I think Magic's really good when you can give ordinary players, which I would certainly class myself as, the chance to feel powerful doing things that are not in and of themselves inherently powerful. So Call the Scions, it's not a powerful card in and of itself. It's like, hey, 3 mana, make 2/1/1s. That's all it does. But it feels really good when you then go, okay, here's a channeler, here's Broodmate Monitor, whatever it is, and, you know, suddenly, Brood Monitor, and suddenly, here's my Desolation Twin. And that feels filthy, which is, you know, we want more filth in Magic, and Desolation Twin, round about turn 6-7, counts.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah.
How much of your life has to be Magic in order to prepare yourself to be able to talk competently about everything that's going on at the Pro Tour?
I'm looking forward to finding out one day. The serious answer is that I think people would be amazed/horrified at how little Magic I get to watch physically at the Pro Tour. Like, I have the program of the Pro Tour in my ear physically all through Friday and Saturday, but by the time I sit down for the semi-final in the booth, I have probably watched 4 or 5 turns of Magic.
Wow.
Because that's not my role. My role is to run the news desk and to know who's winning and who's losing and what all that means for Player of the Year and what archetypes and making sure there are deck techs getting made. And so I do a lot of work beforehand on, you know, trying to learn the cards and get a handle on that. And then I rely on an awful lot of other people on the team to give me as much information as I need to speak the language of the players. Because that's fundamentally what happens with Magic. Every 3 months, we switch languages. We learn a new language. We go from the language of Origins to the language of Battle for Zendikar. In 3 months, we're going to need to learn the language of Oath of the Gatewatch. And so that we can all talk the same language together. You know, so that's the big challenge. And, you know, that's sometimes where you end up with, wait, was that a 5-5 for 5 or was that a 5-5? Like, Broodmate Monitor, I just said a minute ago. It's Brood Monitor. That's me hitting my hand. I don't watch a lot of Magic at the Pro Tour, but in the weeks leading up, there's a ton of preparation for sure.
I hear that you do puns based on card names. It's just a little rumor I've heard. Do you have any personal favorites from this set?
Sure. Okay, so I was in a pub, or a bar, as you would say in America, with Brian David Marshall. We got arguing about accoutrements that you wear, a fashion attire around the neck, because I'm from Britain, which means the deal is there are only two rules about neckwear. Number one, it has to be knotted sufficiently. Right? It doesn't have to be a Windsor knot, but it has to be knotted sufficiently. And number two, it must be up around the top button, and the button must be done up. Now, BDM, he comes from Jersey, as he likes to call it, and therefore he will quite happily wear a piece of neckwear that is like halfway down his chest with an open top button. And I went absolutely nuts about this. I'm standing there in this bar with him, and I'm going, you cannot do it. It is a disgrace. You are besmirching the good name of neckwear. And I think it must have gone on for about 20 minutes. It was a bar rage tie rant.
Oh my God.
You asked. She asked. You heard her ask. It's not my fault.
I'm dying. That was brilliant. Thank you.
Welcome.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was like half an hour of interviews.
Some sweet interviews, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
No problem, bro.
Yeah, those people are great, and I really appreciated that pun by Rich. That was just A-plus pun in my book.
I agree.
Thank you. So now let's talk about what actually happened on the Pro Tour, because what the heck? A lot of crazy stuff went down.
Well, I can tell you something that happened, Steve.
What, Steve?
Sea Drino continued his tyrannical reign in Standard.
You hate Sea Drino so much.
Look, I don't hate Sea Drino, but I'm playing Megan today. And if we all know thing about Megan, it's that she hates Sea Drino.
She hates Sea Drino. He's back like he never left, I guess. So he can't really be back, but he's here to stay.
He's back like he never left.
For the next 6 months.
What a jerk.
C-Drino.
What a big rhino-y jerk.
He will be poking his horn into all of your business for the next 6 months.
Get your horn out of my business, C-Drino.
Yeah, so an Obzon deck featuring C-Drino won. Okay, so who did we have in the finals, Megan?
We had the winner, C-Drino.
Well, yeah.
Four copies, but piloted by Kazuyuki Takamura.
Yes, who dedicated his win to his new wife, which I thought was very sweet.
That's adorable.
And he had a killer haircut. Did you see that?
Yes. No, I super admired his haircut.
I loved his haircut.
From like the first time that he was on coverage, I was like,
me too.
That's a sweet haircut, dude.
Yeah, I was tracking the hand of the player opposite him in one game before the top eight, and I was like, man, your hair is on point, Takamura.
Yeah, it was kind of like a faux hawk, but like a lot like longer on the top.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good.
It was great.
I totally
Highly recommend that you cut your hair like him, because number one, he won a Pro Tour, number two, it's great hair.
Yes.
And
totally.
He was playing Ryachi Tamada.
Yes.
Who was playing, like you said, Jeskai.
Yep. Which was a very sweet deck. I have to say that obviously, not knowing either of these players, I was rooting for Tamada because he wasn't playing Seed Rhino.
And Tamada's a great guy. Very funny.
Yes. I also was super impressed when I watched him play, especially in the semifinals against John Finkel.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, I was so impressed by his playing. obviously everyone in the top eight of a pro tour is a very good player.
Including John Finkel, who many would say is the best player.
He's the best player. Obviously, there's some good players in the top eight. I don't know. You have to be pretty good, I guess.
I can probably do it. But speaking of, can I just add something? Like, speaking of, you have to be the best. There was a brand new top eight player.
What does that mean?
Ricky Chin.
Oh, yeah. Was that his first pro tour? Impressive.
Top eight.
Yeah.
Do you know how he can't... If you were listening to coverage, you know this, but apparently the reason he even, like, started to play competitively, which was not too long ago, just a couple years ago, somebody that he knew from his LGS had made it onto the pro tour, I think. And then he was like, I can beat that guy.
And then he did, and then he got on the pro tour, and then
he got in top eight.
Sweet.
So, anyway, side note.
Yes. So obviously you have to be very good, but I was just so impressed watching him play that semifinals game against John Finkel. Like, it wasn't, and I tried to express this to you earlier, Steve, about how it wasn't just like one good play that he made or even one good sequence of plays, but it just became apparent like several, like multiple turns into the game that he had been like crafting a game plan the entire time. And that what he was crafting was brilliant.
Yep.
And was like the best shot that he had at winning.
It was a real lesson to watch these players play this Magic. I mean, they're the best in the world. And if you haven't seen it, I would recommend heading on YouTube to Magic's channel and checking out some of these final matches, because they're played in ways that, I mean, I would never have played these matches. Like, yeah. Just taking their time in a lot of scenarios and making sure that they can set up, like you said, to give themselves a favorable board position and then just go off from there rather than just jamming what they have in their hand.
So many, like, just so many patient plays, so much patience, so much great Magic. Go check it out. Words cannot do it justice. Only video, which is worth a million words.
A picture is worth 1,000. Video is worth a million. Real life's worth a Google. So that was great. I mean, we had some bad draws in some of the final games. Like, I don't think Paolo Vitor Demo De Rosa's deck really got a chance to shine.
Which is sad. And there's always the debate, like, since they used to have it that you wouldn't get to see all of the top eight, right? They have it now that they broadcast every single match, which is great. But at the same time, it used to be best of five.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people have argued that they think it's worth the trade-off that you don't get to see every single match to play best of five for the whole top eight, specifically for reasons like that. Which, in a match of three, sometimes
it just happens.
Exactly.
Unfortunately. And Paolo said that too. He was like, I wish everybody could have seen my deck really go off, because it was a cool deck. It was Obzon.
Yeah.
Sorry, not Obzon. A Tarka Red. And it was kind of a combo deck in that you wanted to play Become Immense plus Teemer Battle Rage or whatever on your little goblins and make them enormous and trampley and whatever. Which would be kind of fun to see. But
totally.
But we didn't see it.
Alas.
We saw it earlier. He was on camera earlier, though. So you can go back and check out some of his matches.
Yes.
Yeah. So a really fun, diverse number of decks that I saw. I mean, it wasn't like there was anything... there wasn't a whole lot of innovation that I was personally hoping for. Like, there was no Aldrazi deck or whatever, even though somebody did cast an Ulamog. Can't remember who or what deck that was.
We did get to see a couple of Aristocrats builds.
Yes, that was cool.
Which Aristocrats refers to, there was a time, I believe in Innistrad, when there were a couple of cards that were like X types of Aristocrats, which you could sacrifice other creatures to have them do something.
Right.
So that became, like, there was an Aristocrats deck at the time, which played a lot of these Aristocrats type cards, and then you would have things to sack to them, which is where the name comes from. So this deck,
came from the fact that only Aristocrats played that type of deck in any given tournament.
Anyone playing an Aristocrats deck must be a Duke or a Duchess at least.
Oh, the Dukes and Duchesses of Magic are like, excuse me, we can't play your common decks with Thragtusk.
We need Aristocrat decks.
We are making our own deck.
Excuse me.
I may be inbred, but I'm not stupid. Anyway.
So, yeah, so it still just refers to this type of deck where you get to sacrifice things to a creature. In this case, Nantuko Husk, making a Pro Tour debut.
Yeah, like, and he's just a common, y'all.
Just a little common from a core set. How could he have such big dreams?
Well, guess what? Even a common can get in the Pro Tour, Megan.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
What a fairy tale story for Nantuko Husk. That little zombie little insect.
He was just a small husk with big dreams.
Just remember that even you 2/2 for 3 mana zombie insects out there can make it big someday.
And he did make it big by becoming big, actually.
Yes, you can sack something to give him +2/+2. So people were doing things like playing Whirler Rogue, and then tapping the artifacts to make him unblockable.
Yep.
And then sacking all of those sacking those Thopters to him and sacking that Whirler Rogue
so
to him.
So sick! I love it.
Super sick. Very cool. You can check out the deck tech with Christian Calcano.
Yep.
And a kid named Oliver.
Yeah. He's on the Pro Tour, man.
Yeah, exactly. For more info about that deck, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, something I like about that deck, it felt very combo-y, and it also played Sultai Emissary.
Yes.
Which I loved.
Because you can sack it and then you get a 2/2. Or a manifest.
A manifest, rather, yeah.
Exactly. So, another common that made it.
Great. That was pretty great.
Absolutely, it was.
So, yeah, there is some fun decks, but there are a lot of things expected, like Abzan and Jeskai.
Like Siege Rhino.
Steve's so mad right now.
I'm so mad.
If you could say one thing to Siege Rhino, what would you say?
Look, Siege Rhino, this is my new manifesto. You may be the number one card in Standard, but I'm number one at hating you. I'm coming for you, Siege Rhino. Any step you take, any move you make, I will be watching you.
You just gotta build a better deck, Megan. That's all you gotta do. There's also a draft that happened.
That's true. There was draft at the Pro Tour.
That I want to just briefly talk about. We heard a lot of players talk about it, but I just wanted to say that we heard predictions from them, and I think they were right.
Holy snaps.
So we heard some people favored black, white, life gain, sack effect deck. We also heard people favored blue, red.
Mm-hmm.
And those two decks, I think, are very, very, very strong.
Absolutely.
And there was consensus, wide consensus, that those were two of the best decks that you wanted to draft. You heard Owen say that he would not pick a green card if his life depended on it. I don't necessarily think that's true.
And little does he know that his life will.
Because I do think you can draft a strong landfall deck, and anybody who's been beaten down by a turn 2 snapping Gnarled and turn 3 Valakut Predator knows very, very well that you can lose very quickly to that deck. It just lacks removal, I think, in green is the issue.
Just last night, I watched a friend of the show, Doc, Doc, almost get wrecked by an Omnath.
Oh, yeah?
That card was insane, and his opponent cast it all 3 games on turn 6.
Sick.
It's a 7-mana card, and they had enough, like, either ramp or scions to get it out on turn 6, and it was insane.
What did he... Well, he still won, didn't he?
Game 1, he was, like, super winning, and then he lost. Game 2, he had enough tempo going on, and he was playing blue-red, kind of devoid.
Yeah.
And it was a great deck. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And he just won anyways. His opponent cast Omnath and he was far enough ahead already in terms of tempo that he won anyways. And then game 3, things were going like, okay. And then his opponent cast Omnath and then disconnected. So we don't know about, who knows how that would have turned out. He did have turn against in his hand at the time. So
there could have
been some turn against these shenanigans.
I do want to say that I think this is a very, very strong draft format.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks, R&D, for making a good one. And it's a lot of fun to play, and there are a lot of avenues to go down. Because by saying that we think that blue, red, and black, white are the strongest decks, that doesn't mean that other decks cannot just equally wreck face as hard.
They really can.
And that's the, to me, the knowledge that you have a good format. So Good job, guys. We like this one.
Hey, guys. Good job.
Hey, good job.
Hey, good job.
From Steve and Steve.
Hey, bro. Kick it.
It's time for a new segment called Who Do You Think You Are?
That's right. We already had a little Who Do You Think You Are preview with
when you yelled at Cedrano.
Cedrano yelling.
I understand. This segment is for when we're mad at a card and we think it just needs to be taken down a couple notches.
Yes, as some cards sometimes
I
do.
I agree.
You know, they get really full of themselves.
They're uppity.
They think they're hot shit.
Yep. And guess what?
And they're not.
And you're not. So I wanted to take this time to be like, my card that I've chosen is Serpentine Spike.
Which I'm in on this because we were streaming last week on Monday. Mm-hmm. We had this card in a deck.
Yep.
Boo.
Did we ever cast it?
No.
No, we did not.
No, we did not. Did we still wreck face with that deck?
Yeah, we did.
Yes, we did.
Guess what? This was also in my deck at GP Madison when I played Side Event Draft. Mm-hmm. Did I ever cast it? No.
No.
No, I did not. Did I still wreck face with that deck? Yes. Yes, I did, but I did not cast this card.
So we are here to ask, who do you think you are, Serpentine Spike?
You cost 5 red,
7 mana.
What? Get out of here with that mana? Casting cost.
Who do you think you are, Primeval what? Bounty?
No.
Excuse me.
Who do you think you are, Plated Crusher costing 7? Are you Hexproof? No.
Are you even Instant Speed?
No. Are you cute?
No.
You're a guy with a weird tentacle going through your stomach.
Exactly.
And you know what else is my problem with you? I need 3 targets in my opponent's board to cast you.
Yep. Otherwise, I have to target my own stuff.
I'm not going to target my own stuff.
No, I can't target, you know, one of their things because they only have one thing.
No,
I need 3 targets. Face.
No.
Can't even
does not go
target
to the face.
My opponent's face.
Much
what
like,
is that?
Unlike Touch of the Void, which goes to the face and guess what? Yeah. Only costs 3.
Ooh, 3 and can kill a creature and then exiles it.
Yep. No
what
big deal.
What about it?
You can't do that. And this is my beef.
Yeah.
This is my extra beef.
Let's hear it.
Sure, you may do 4 damage, 3 damage, 2 damage. But is it that? I can't remember. Anyway, it's something like that.
5-4-3?
No, it's not that good.
It's not.
But if I'm casting that card against my opponent, they need to have little guys. And what deck plays little guys that I care about killing? It's the allies deck.
Yep.
Let me ask you a question, Megan. Am I still alive on turn 7 enough to cast this card?
No, I'm not.
I'm dead. Because they met a Resolute Blade Master like 4 fucking turns ago.
Yep.
I am more than dead.
You're so dead.
I'm a skeleton. They're digging me up in a pile of amber and remaking me.
They're gonna put you in a park.
I'm gonna be in a park and I'm gonna lose my shit and
yeah,
I'm gonna break out and eat children.
Yeah. And they're gonna still open 2 other parks after that happens.
Like,
and no one is sure how they're still getting approval for this. Like, everyone's like, it's not gonna happen again. You're right, it's only 4-3-2. Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are, Serpentine Spike, you sorcery motherfucker?
Ugh. Oh, sure, you have Devoid. This card has no color. This card, you have no worth.
You have no flavor.
Deal with it.
You taste like shame. You should be ashamed of yourself, Serpentine Spike. I know you're rare, but guess what? I ordered my steak medium well.
That's a terrible idea. Look, bros don't let other bros eat medium well done steak.
I'm sorry, but that's what I ordered. Everybody, that's Magic the Amateuring for this week. I know we said we were going to crack a cold snap and talk about when to hold back and when to make plays when you're playing control, which is actually added to the conversation, speaking of the games that we saw at the Pro Tour this past weekend. But we decided to focus on the Pro Tour because, you know, I was there and it was a lot of fun and we had a lot of great player interviews. So we're going to talk about that stuff in Crack Cold Snap next week.
Yes.
So there's a double teaser for you.
Tune in. Unfortunately, we will not be having another mashup. At least not next week with the hosts, Steve and Steve. Of Hey Bro, Let's Kick It.
Yeah.
But they might be back in the future.
You never know.
Yeah.
This show was once hosted by 2 other famous people.
Yeah. Oh, you know, Steve and Steve are famous.
Yeah.
It was Steve Buscemi.
Steve Jobs.
And Steve Jobs.
The best combinations of Steve's.
Possible. Also an impossible combination of Steve's. Yeah. As one of them is dead.
An impossible combination of Steve's is the best hipster band name I've ever heard.
They all need to be named Steve, though.
Oh, it's so good.
Or call each other Steve.
Oh, I want to start that band now.
An impossible combination of... Hey, guys. We're an impossible combination of Steves. We're going to be playing some Jimmy Eat World covers for you tonight.
No, that band does not play Jimmy Eat World. It plays, like, Sum 41, ironically.
Perfect. If your Great. Name is Steve and you play an instrument, you are allowed to start this band. You just have to send us all tapings of all of your rehearsals and shows.
Before we leave, I just want to give another shout out to everybody who is on the Wizards event team. It was a tremendous pleasure and an honor to be able to work with you this past weekend on the Pro Tour. I had so much fun. It was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun as well. And you guys were all great. And I have a whole bunch of new friends now. So I hopefully will be able to do it in the future and get Megan into the mix too. And get some more ladies representing for Magic at the Pro Tour. There was a lady who made day two. There was two, I think. Maybe more. Somebody placed like 14th.
Huh? Oh, yeah. 11th.
Yeah, 11th.
Autumn.
Autumn.
From England. From England. And she was the only person to, in Constructed, go 9-1.
That's amazing.
She is the only person to go 9-1 in Constructed.
I talked to her briefly.
So multiple high fives, Autumn.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Just killer. That's amazing.
Represent.
Nice work.
Well done.
Super cool.
Hey, you guys, what do you want to say, Megan? You look like you want
to
say something.
Oh, I wanted to say something. So we got a question really quickly.
Oh, we did.
That I wanted to answer.
Okay, great. Last minute.
New Hall of Famer, Eric Froelich.
Yep.
Asked us, he says, at MTAcast, hi, longtime listener, something a time tweeter. Is your GP advice really don't get married? Thanks.
Okay, we should explain what's happening.
That's a really good question.
Great question. On a previous episode, we said
don't get married.
We did give that advice. That's true, Ifro.
I know. And I'm really glad that you asked this question just a few minutes ago so that we can take a moment to address it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? We feel like most people at a Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Shouldn't get married at the Grand Prix.
Right, at the Grand Prix.
At the Grand Prix.
Was that what we said, or did we just say don't get married in general?
I think we said don't get married at the Grand Prix.
Oh, okay. I don't know what we said.
That being said,
you
go for it.
You can do it. We believe in you.
You are a new Hall of Famer. Congratulations.
You can do whatever you want.
You are newly unfianced.
Yes.
Congratulations. You do what you want. Don't you listen to a couple of scrubs like us.
Yeah. And like, you got your lady a great ring, and you also got a great ring, and I tried it on and it was like all my dreams came true. So
for everyone else out there, when you go to a Grand Prix, just watch out. You can get swept up in it. But you know what?
But you know what, Eric? You do
you. You go for it.
You do you.
Hey, bro. Kick it.
Remember, everybody, you can find us on the internet. We're at magictheamateuring.com. We stream, by the way, on twitch.tv/magictheamateuring. If you ever want to catch us, we tweet about it. So follow us on Twitter at MTAcast if you want to find out when we're streaming. Because if I do say so myself, Megan, we've got a pretty baller stream.
Yeah, we do.
We took down an 8-4 last time. Let's see if we can do something similar tonight.
Despite having Serpentine Spike in our deck.
Despite having that card in our deck. Ugh. But yeah, check us out on stream and on the Twitters, and donate to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/MTAcast. We've got big news. We hit another level. So thank you to everybody. We're going to be doing Magic the Pro the Ring starting next month, where we talk to pro players and we go next level with analysis and in-depth coverage of what's going on in the Magic world. And I'm really excited about that. So join our family. We have great rewards, and we sincerely thank everybody. If you get anything out of this show, throw us a buck or more.
You can find us online. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
And I'm horny_unicorny. Until next time.
Hey, bro.
Kick it.